98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
With a schedule that's about to get tougher than a truck stop T-bone, it would be nice for the Cardinals to be able to unveil an X-factor, a new weapon, a new wrinkle to confuse opposing quarterbacks and defensive coordinators. You know, somebody like Isaiah Simmons. It's really about time, but you have to wonder if the Cardinals are prepping Simmons in the right way or repeating past mistakes. After all, they drafted him after they signed Devondre Campbell. They slotted him at a position that is highly cerebral. He's got a lot of traffic in front of him. They started him in week one and then stapled him to the bench. And while Steve Keim said the last thing we want to do is stunt Simmons' development, isn't that exactly what's happened here? And shouldn't the organization know better after Deion Buchanan and Hassan Reddick, after Tyrann Mathieu complained about being played out of position, eventually falling out of love with the Cardinals? The Arizona Cardinals made sure they tailored everything around their first-round pick in 2019, and that was quarterback Kyler Murray. You'd like them to do the same with Simmons, to get something out of their eighth overall pick before this season is a wash. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW. Go test drive the ultimate driving machine at the newly renovated Chapman BMW in Chandler at Chapman BMW on Camelback, or you can find them at chapmanbmw.com.
We're going to continue to work him in, and you see the flashes of athleticism, and he covers that guy down the seam stride for stride. So it's all there physically and athletically, and I really thought the game slowed down for him a little bit last night, and then I think it'll continue to do so, and so we'll kind of see where that goes.
That was Cliff Kingsbury in his weekly visit with us yesterday here on Bickley and Murata, talking about Isaiah Simmons, who did play season-high 20 snaps. I think a lot of that had to do with the numbers that were on the scoreboard, but he did make a couple plays, had three tackles, did have that pass defensed. So it was a little something positive, but as we break this down, and we'll hear from others here in this segment. By the way, we're also going to be joined by Byron Murphy, played really well on Monday night. He's going to join us at 12:15. I think the Cardinals right now are in a situation, yes, people are clamoring. I'm one of them. I want to see number 48 on the field a lot. But with the way this is going, 4-2 through six games, they're not at the point where they're going to just play Isaiah Simmons to get him more reps, because there's something bigger that they're all playing for. They're not at the point of, okay, is it Simmons or is it winning games? They're winning games and they're getting good production from their inside linebackers now. Is it frustrating? Yes, but they're still in the thick of things. Well, and maybe this is not the time to give a bigger role just because you drafted him eighth overall.
Well, no, and I'm not saying just throw him out there. I'm just saying that it would have been nice to have planned this a little better to get him ready to contribute, sort of the way Tua Tagovailoa is going to be entering the stage in Miami. Maybe you could have gotten to a place where this weekend's game against Seattle was something that was prepped for Isaiah Simmons all along. That maybe this was his goal to surface this game and maybe be a spy on Russell or whatever. But my thinking is that you look at the other linebackers recently here that have never quite played to their capabilities. Deion Buchanan for one season was thought to be an NFL revolutionary, that every team had to have a dollar linebacker that could do a little something of everything.
Yeah, and he started off very well, and I think it was that second year, too, in 2015, he was really instrumental, and then it kind of went south from there.
Did. And then the other thing is, listening to Hassan Reddick speak this morning, this is really what led me to blast on Isaiah Simmons today, and he just spoke about what a tough adjustment it was for him as a youngster learning how to play inside linebacker in the NFL.
Yeah, here's that soundbite again from Burns and Gambo with Hassan Reddick.
It was difficult. It was a challenge, because it was something that I had never done before. And playing inside linebacker, man, it's a lot of things that goes into it. After playing a position, I definitely respect the players that play that position, because there's a lot of thinking, a lot of pre-snap keys that you have to look at. And it's a lot of things, a lot of, like I said, it's a lot of thinking, a lot of knowledge that goes into that position. which I wasn't used to. You know, I wasn't used to that. But, you know, I've always been a competitor. And, you know, I did try my best, you know, week in and week out.
Yeah, and he's a guy who you could throw on that linebacker list of guys that have struggled to find a role. Now Hassan Reddick has a role carved out for him, and he's performed quite well in it. But here's another cut from that interview with Burns and Gambo about Isaiah Simmons. How hard is it for a player like that to adapt with to positional flexibility when that is his calling card in this league?
It comes with a lot, you know, because you're purpose becomes one of many things, you know, one of many things, and people expect a lot out of you. But Isaiah, he has great talent, and I believe he's going to be a great football player. You know, with time, with more learning, more studying, I think he's going to be the player that we all think that he can be. So, you know, it's his first year. And all he needs is time to adjust, time to get, you know, time to understand the things that's being asked of him. And without a doubt, I think that he can excel.
Yeah, again, about that flexibility, I mentioned this, and this was the snap count the Pro Football Focus had going into the draft on Isaiah Simmons in his last season at Clemson. He had 100 snaps at strong safety, 116 snaps at outside linebacker, 132 at free safety, 262 as a slot corner, and 299 at inside linebacker. So, again, it was a majority, but that...
But the position is different in college.
Absolutely.
That's what Hassan Reddick is saying.
Absolutely.
It becomes
and
much
Hassan
more...
And Hassan Reddick was a guy who was an edge rusher at Temple.
It becomes much more cerebral on the offensive level in terms of things that you have to recognize and things you have to read and all the processing. When I talk about Budda Baker and the secret to his success is playing so fast, that's where you have to get when, and that's where you get when you're not thinking about what you're doing.
Yeah.
And clearly that's not Isaiah Simmons' deal right now. I would like to think that the Cardinals have a coherent plan that maybe this is not going to be a guy that is going to be a bit contributor for 2-3 years, flash in year four. That's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah,
in the NFL.
I don't feel at all, like not even 1% comfortable saying that this was a bad draft
no.
pick by the Cardinals.
No,
what I do feel safe was. Safe saying is 2020 was not the right timing for this, all things considered. When you're taking a Swiss Army knife defensively and trying to get the most out of him in his rookie season and teaching him solely a position that, again, there is a lot of learning, it couldn't have come in a worse year. Again, you know, March and April, when the draft happened, we didn't know that the training camp would be so affected. We didn't know all of those things. I think Isaiah Simmons is going to be just fine. But again, you balance getting Isaiah Simmons on the field as opposed to staying in the thick of the NFC West race. You got to sprinkling him in is the right thing to do right
now. Yeah, listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying play him. That's not what I'm saying.
No, I'm not saying you are.
I think
there's a lot of people out there that are saying that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm just saying that maybe you should have prepped him somewhere else to start his career. I don't know.
And I think that's certainly viable as well.
And you referenced, too, maybe that game is coming. Maybe it's after the bye. Maybe it's after the Seattle game.
All right.
With that extra week off, and that's when they're going to unleash him.
You look at Patrick Queen, who played at LSU, was one of their better defensive players. He got drafted 28th by the Ravens. He came to a really good defense, and he was slotted perfectly for his skill set. And now he's making plays all over the field.
Mm-hmm.
Forced a Joe Burrow fumble over the weekend. So, to me, this is the way you delineated it might be the way to do it. It's not necessarily a bad time for all rookies because other rookies are succeeding, but maybe a rookie like Isaiah Simmons, maybe if you're going to take a guy who did all of this stuff in college and then make him hyper-focused on a cerebral position, then maybe the lack of reps does affect him more than other rookies. I'll buy that. But I still don't understand the Devondre Campbell element here. If you're surprised by Devondre Campbell performing as well as he has, then... That kind of bothers me because you shouldn't have been. You should have been expecting exactly what he's given you. And did you just say from the start he was going to be a one-year guy, a bridge guy, until Isaiah Simmons?
No, if I remember correctly, too, he's got a really uniquely structured contract where there's a lot of buyout years, avoidable years.
Okay. I thought it was basically a one-year deal.
It could turn out to be one with all the voidables.
Okay.
And I'd have to look up the actual language of the contract.
Either way, I've got a good feeling. I had a bad feeling going into the Dallas game, and it was really unfounded. I've got a good feeling going into the Seahawks game. I hope I'm not equally unfounded.
Yeah, look, if there's one thing we know is our feelings going into games.
Don't count on us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Have you subscribed to the Bickley and Murata podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Bickley and Murata podcast brought to you this week by National Bank of Arizona. Yeah, Cardinals get a big win on Monday night in Dallas on national TV, 38-10. It was a very strong defensive performance, and one of the guys responsible for it joins us right now. Byron Murphy, Cardinals cornerback, checks in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Byron, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. How's everything going today?
Yeah, sir. Thank you for having me. Everything's going great. You know, got the dub, feeling great.
Yeah, I mean, there's been so much talk about the defense, from the scheme that Vance Joseph put out there to the confidence that the defensive backfield, the secondary, played with. Can you touch on that last part? What does this a performance like that do for you guys as a unit?
You know, as a unit, we have a standard. We always hold each other to that standard, which is being great. That's going to help us out a lot, confidence level-wise. Making sure, like you said, Coach Vance Joseph, making sure we come in there prepared every single week. And I just think our unit, we have a great unit who's looking out for our guys, is always, helping each other out. And like you said, the energy level is always great with us. So, just as a whole unit, I think we always stick together and we always compete to make sure we reach that standard.
All right. Well, how did Buda Baker become a superstar overnight?
Oh, man. Hey, Buddha's always been like that. Once he gets on the football field, Buddha's a dog, And like I said, again, shout out to Buddha. He got his first interception. That's a great feeling with his little cast. So, we're going to keep teasing about that. But, like I said, it was a great great feeling to have as an overall unit, as us coming out with that victory.
Byron Murphy of the Cardinals, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. You got to let us know, Byron. I mean, Buddha did get number one. He's been in the league for a while, and I know that zero in the interception column, people were talking about it. Did you guys rib him before he got it? How much do you guys talk about that?
Oh, man, we always talk. We're always getting on Buddha. He's always making practice at play. He's always making plays at practice throughout the whole week. So, we're always getting on. Man, you got to get a turnover on Sunday, get your first interception. And so it finally happened. But, we're going to stay on him so he can get more. But before that first interception, we were on him probably almost every single day, just trying to get in his head about it. But as you see, Sunday got his first one. So, like I said, congratulations to him. We got to get some more going.
I don't know if you remember this. I don't know if you were in college when this happened. The years go by so fast, but there was a time when Drew Stanton was famous for his sideline celebration during a big touchdown in Seattle. You kind of had that on Christian Kirk's touchdown the other night when you just went joyriding down the sideline, my man.
Oh, yes, sir. Definitely. That's my brother. We went to the same high school. We're both from Arizona. So once I see a play like that happen, I got to turn up with him. I wanted to run all the way to the end zone and dance with him. But, I had to stay on the sideline and make sure everything was good.
Byron Murphy, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. For you, Byron, do you think that was your strongest individual performance so far of your NFL career?
Yes, definitely. Yes, definitely think that was one of the, one of my biggest games. I just think, that obviously that type of game, Monday Night Football, I had to come to play. So that was kind of, one of the biggest games for sure. And, I just got to keep that going, keep that mindset, and keep that confidence going.
There was a lot of people that watched that game, and after the two turnovers in the second quarter by the Cowboys, the critics of the Cowboys said, yeah, they kind of packed it in at that point. You guys just got stronger as the game went on. Did you feel that on the field, that their energy level waned, or maybe that they had no confidence after those turnovers?
I definitely felt that. I kind of seen some heads drop. I'm always looking across the sidelines to see, what type of energy they have, what type of energy we have. So once I seen our energy level just stay the same and keep even getting better every single, drive, or if that's even after halftime, after each quarter, our energy just kept being great. So I think that was a big difference as well. We kind of felt like, we were getting the best of our opponent.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. They've been obviously unbeatable. We all know that. But Russell Wilson's playing at a level we have not yet seen or haven't seen before this season. How are you guys going to defend him? And more to the point, are you guys jacked up? Are you excited for this challenge?
Oh, you know we're excited for the challenge. The challenge is always something that we look forward to. Playing against his team undefeated. Like you said, he's playing at a different level, which is great for us. We're going to have opportunities out there. But also just knowing, going in this game, we're going to have to, it's a good matchup. So we're going to come in and have to play. I think that's just like kind of our standard coming to each game. Not look at every single team different or have a different type of energy or anything different every single week. But this is the type of game, we got to come ready to play, knowing that they have playmakers, knowing who's back there at quarterback. So that's just going to, give a bigger chip on our shoulder and get ready for this Sunday's game.
Now, you got a chance to go against Russell Wilson a couple times last year as a rookie. In your estimation, Byron, what makes him so much different from other NFL quarterbacks in terms of having to defend him?
Oh, yeah, he's definitely a difference maker, I'll tell you that. He for sure can get out that pocket and make plays happen. He's smart. He can read coverages, get the call. All his checks is coming in quick. But like I said, the biggest thing is just plastering, making sure when, he's getting out of that pocket, we got to stay on the receivers. I know they're going to be running downfield. But he just make plays happen. And, he's a great quarterback. Best in my eyes. One of the best in my eyes, for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, you mentioned the receiving core. They've got a trio that's really good. You guys just coming off a game against Dallas where they have a trio that's really good, and you did a nice job on them. Can you compare the receiving corps, the one that you just saw in Dallas, as opposed to what you'll see Sunday against Seattle?
Oh, definitely. The matchup-wise, I just think, coming into this game, just like last week, they got a good receiving corps. They got a good receiving corps this week. So just got to come in, get that game plan ready, lock into that game plan, and just come Sunday to what we practiced throughout the whole week, and just knowing what type of, obviously last game was last game, put that behind us and figure out, what type of deals we're going to get this week, but knowing that they're a good wide receiver corps.
All right, Kenyon Drake told the media something very funny today. He said his mother was the one that told him to start running north and south and quit running towards the sidelines. And he said, when moms gets up at me, you got to listen. So who in your life tells you the hard truths who are not football coaches?
Oh, man, I'm the same way my mom. Even if I have a good game, she's going to tell me everything I did bad. I think that's just how moms are, That was, when the good plays happen, they're going to cheer for you. But when you get home, you're going to hear the bad part.
Now, I remember reading a while ago, didn't your mom, she used to always make sure you got to practice on time in college, right?
Yeah, she used to call my phone, making sure I'm wide awake, ready to go. she used to be on it.
Moms are the best.
She was the coach.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, we got to know, because, you played really well on Monday night, Byron. So did your mom get on you about anything against the Cowboys?
Hey, she kind of chilled that morning. She kind of sent me a prayer, told me to lock in. I was like, okay. And I got to go out there and show, because my mom, she's kind of in a chill mood. It's time to go.
We're talking with Byron Murphy of the Arizona Cardinals here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We've had to wait a really long time here in Pac-12 country to find to get some football. It's almost here. That being said, how are your Huskies going to be this year, Byron?
Oh, the Huskies, they're going to do their thing. You got Coach Legge, head coach now. That's a big thing going on. But, Pac-12, I see us, going all. I'm always going to be with my brothers. I got a good feeling for them, secondary wise, and just I'm ready to look forward to that. Look forward to that for sure.
There was a lot of people around college football that were surprised when Coach Peterson stepped down. How surprised were you when he made that decision?
I was very surprised. Coach P was my guy, probably one of the best head coaches I've ever been around, outside and inside the locker room. But it was a big surprise. I probably know that he kind of wants to spend more time with his family. But when Coach Lake was head coach, that was kind of, something I kind of could see. Unfortunately, I left before it happened, but, I'm just happy for him. Coach Lake is one of the greatest coaches I've ever been around, so I'm just happy for him and his family as well.
All right, so what was it like actually playing before a good number of fans on Monday night? It was the first time this year that you've had a real gathering. I mean, 25,000 people's no joke. What was that like, and what's it going to be like going back this week where I guess you guys are going to have about 1,200 there? Is there a big difference?
There's definitely a big difference because you're going from quiet to some noise, so That's kind of the biggest difference. When you're when everything's quiet, you can hear everything going on. But when you have a crowd that's cheering, kind of brings a little bit more juice, kind of helps your energy level, you know, when you have no fans towards with fans. So it's probably, I said the difference is just the biggest thing is just, you know, communication for us. You know, we can actually get our calls. Everyone could lock into communication on the field. But the fans thing kind of bring more juice, get you more excited. When you make plays, you're going to hear that noise. So, you know, I just think that our sideline just got to keep that kind of be the sideline, be the fan noise, you know, keep that great energy for all of us and keep us going.
Byron, thanks so much for the time. Congratulations on the win and your personal success. Best of luck against Seattle.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, man.
Byron Murphy, Jr., Cardinals cornerback. He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sportsline, Coulter Infinity. Luxury cars, legendary service. Visit CoulterInfinity.com. Who's the person in your life that tells you the hard truths? Like, hey, your show wasn't great today.
My 11-year-old.
Did people in your family listen to the show?
My 11-year-old.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dad, you can make it up to me by getting me a shake at Sonic.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Thanks again to Byron Murphy for joining us. Text GATE to 620-620 and listen for your name at 5 p.m. for your chance to win a brand new barbecue grill and a custom Arizona Sports cornhole set. You will also be invited to an exclusive virtual tailgate featuring Arizona Sports hosts and a chance to win a $250 prize pack from Four Peaks Brewing Company. Text GATE to 620-620. The Arizona Sports virtual tailgate is presented by Four Peaks Brewing Company. Coming up next, our weekly Wednesday NFL visit. Mark Schlereth. Straight ahead here on Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. NFL analyst Mark Schlereth talks football with Bickley and Murata. Brought to you by Earnhardt Ford in Chandler. Proud partner of the Arizona Cardinals. Visit EarnhardtFord.com.
It's Wednesday. We welcome Mark Schlereth back to the Bickley and Murata Show to talk some football. Mark will be calling the Cardinals-Seahawks game this weekend on Fox, and he joins us right now here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Mark, how are you?
I am doing great. I'm really excited about this game. You know, there used to be a day where they just sent me here because, you know, it was the Cardinals. But the Cardinals are good, man. Yeah. They're fun to watch on film.
Yeah, you're right. Back in the old days, Vinny and I used to always talk about that. We'd get these commentators who'd roll in every Sunday. They wouldn't know their backside from their elbows, man. And that's because it was like a Siberia assignment for them.
I felt that way listening to a couple of broadcasts. Like, the narrative didn't go the way you thought it would go. And so Monday night was like, wow, what's happened to the Cowboys? I'm like, I'll tell you what's happened to the Cowboys. The Arizona Cardinals came in and whooped some ass. That's what happened to the Cowboys.
Yeah,
but that's the narrative. You get stuck sometimes as a broadcaster, kind of discussing the narrative that you thought was going to happen as opposed to what was actually going on.
All right. Well, what we love about you is that you don't BS anyone. If you haven't seen the Cardinals play, you come out and say, "Dude, don't ask me. I haven't seen them." And that is so refreshing to not get a guy who just BS his way through a question. So, but now that you're playing catch up, and now that you've prep some Cardinal games, give us some of your evaluations of Kyler Murray, of what you see. What are you thinking about this team?
Well, Kyler Murray's a guy that plays above the X's and O's. So, like, even on Monday night, he wasn't playing very well. He was late with a couple of balls. He was inaccurate with some of his balls. But he is so dynamic a player, right? I mean, he's just that guy that, you know, okay, so this isn't working well, this isn't working well. Well, I can beat you with this. And I love that about him. I mean, you know, the other thing is every time he comes out, I just think Mighty Mouse, you know, here it comes, this is the day. And I think every time I watch him run, it's like his upper body doesn't move and his little feet are going, like they're just going a mile a minute.
Uh-huh.
I tell you, you know, they are so good with what they do. And I was a skeptic coming in. I mean, I'm a total skeptic because he's 5 foot. What is he? 5'6", 5'7", something like that.
Yeah. They say 5'10" and 1/8", but I doubt he's that.
Right, but I tell you what, like I said, he's a dynamic player, and when things aren't going his way, he'll find a way to make plays like he did on Monday night, and I love that aspect of what he brings. You know, the other thing that he does is, especially in the red zone, I think they're the number one red zone team in football. I think they've 20 trips, they've scored 16 touchdowns and four field goals, I believe. I believe they're 100% in the red zone, but it's truly 11-on-11 football when you get into the red zone. Because of his ability to run, because of all the different things they do with him, all the different formations they use. And I'll tell you the other thing that has grown since the last year when I was calling them, all the different personnel groupings. I can't tell you how many times, and I was shocked as I started looking and breaking down tape, how many times they're in 12 personnel, how many times they're in 13 heavy personnel, how many times they roll through different personnel groupings to give you another look as a defense that you have to contend with. So I've been very impressed with them from that standpoint. And obviously they can roll out four different receivers that, you know, are a pain to deal with, whether it's, you know, with the Christian Kirk, you saw him deep down the field the other day, obviously Hopkins and Fitz, and, you know, they've got other guys and Andy Isabella and Shearfield that can all run. They're an impressive team. And then defensively is probably where I was more impressed than any other place. Aggressive, nasty, 8-man front, single gap defense. And I tell you what, Buda Baker is like, remember the show Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Yeah.
That's what every time he's on, I'm just like, where the hell is 32? I'm going to find 32. And they've got, you know, they've got Thompson's the other guy. They can roll either guy, weak, strong, doesn't matter. Huge aggression. Like Vance Joseph does a lot of blitzing. They're a single high, you know, cover one, cover three kind of principal football team. And they do a great job from a disguise standpoint and from a timing of blitz. Like blitz is – the blitz becomes really effective when, one, you disguise it, and, two, your timing is impeccable. And those are the two things that I see with them on a consistent basis. It's great disguise, and the timing of it is really good. And so, I'm just really impressed with what they've done.
Yeah.
And, you know, you guys probably ought to call Steve Keim and apologize to him, because I know everybody's trying to run him out of town. Like, maybe the whole text line should just text into you guys and start writing apology letters, because I know everybody wanted to get rid of Steve, but this team is actually playing really well at 4-2, and it's not a fluke.
Mark Schlereth, our weekly NFL guest here on Bickley and Murata. And we've talked to you about Vance Joseph in the past, and you've got experience in being in Denver when he was the head coach with the Broncos. But the biggest takeaway we had on this show from Monday night especially was just how buttoned up that plan was, how aggressive it was. It looked a little bit different. And there's people speculating that, okay, you don't have Chandler Jones to rely on anymore to provide constant pressure to the quarterback. I got to get more creative. How much does that happen in the NFL when coordinators, either offensive or defensive, they lose a key piece of their personnel and then they just, you know, recalibrate things? And do you think that happened with Vance Joseph to a degree?
Oh, I think there's no question that you're trying to produce pressure, right? And when you lose a premier player like Chandler Jones, you got to figure out how you're going to do that on a consistent basis. And so I don't think there's any question. The great coaches basically coach the personnel they have, right? I mean, we talked about it a couple of years ago when Steve Wilks, and really nice guy, but he comes in and we're going to play my defense. And Dayon Buchanan is taking on double teams, or, you know, taking on guards that are 330 pounds. He's 212. And, uh-huh. And he's like, no, you got to stand up and keep your outside arm free. I'm like, the guy's getting impaled. He weighs 200 pounds. Like, that's not his forte, right? So maybe you need to change what you're doing as opposed to trying to jam a square peg into a round hole. But, you know, sometimes that's coaching. I think Vance has done an incredible job changing things up, bringing pressures. That's a testament to, you know, to what he's been able to accomplish. And like I said, they are buttoned up. They are tied together, both back end and front end, on what they're doing. The other thing that is a bonus for you guys, and not a lot of teams have this, you got three guys who can flat out cover. Drake Kirkpatrick can cover. You know, he's a really good player. Obviously, we know what Patrick Peterson is. And I'll tell you what, Byron Murphy is a player, man. That dude's just a playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you've got three guys that you're not worried about playing in, man, and saying, hey, man, we're going to, you know, we're just going to go ahead and play a little man free and see what happens. When you have that ability, boy, it gives you so much freedom as a play caller. And you see that with Vance. You see that with what he has. Man, I'm so proud of Vance. He's doing such a he's really done a good job with that defense. And personnel-wise, you know, I don't even know who – other than Corey Peters, I'm watching 97 and I'm watching 95 and I'm watching – you know, I'm watching a bunch of guys that I don't know. And I'm going – I just keep taking notes like, hey, dude, this dude can play. This dude is, you know, attacking his gap. This guy is recreating a line of scrimmage. I just was really impressed with him.
Yeah, they were really that good on Monday night. I totally agree with that. Now, we know that you take a perverse pleasure every time the Cleveland Browns kind of flame out. Do you feel the same way when the Cowboys put a big steaming pile on film the way they did on Monday night?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Come on. I mean,
how do you know?
Cowboys. Like, listen, do we talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars on national television? Do we do shows about what's wrong with Jacksonville? No, they suck. We know they suck. You know they suck. We're not going to talk about them. Why do we have to talk about the Cowboys? I hated them when I played back for Washington, the football team. I hated them when I played in Denver because ultimately it doesn't matter. You know, they drive ratings. They're America's team. And I used to hate going to Dallas. When you go to Dallas and you sit on the sideline, back in the day, everything was sponsored. Like, everything. So you'd be like, this first down, sponsored by TCBY Yogurt, the official yogurt of your Dallas Cowboys. And you guys, would you turn off the freaking loudspeaker for the love of Pete? I mean, it would drive you nuts as a player. Yeah, I hate Dallas.
And
you know what? It does my heart. It warms my heart to see Dallas. You know, I mean, take a dump. I love that aspect of it.
Mark, you're the best, man. Thank you so much, as always, for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Absolutely. Be well.
All right, Mark Schlereth, NFL on Fox 104.3, The Fan in Denver. His weekly visit is sponsored by Earnhardt Ford in Chandler. Coming up next, a lot of people are worried about Kyler Murray's accuracy. He's not. We'll tell you what he said next. Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Dan Bickley, Vince Marotta.
Bickley and Marotta.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
What you just said off air, it's sometimes therapeutic. It would just be nice just to say that to, like, everybody. That's a little joke between you and me.
Well, not anymore.
Well, right, that's true. That is true.
It was nothing of an offensive nature, I assure you.
Okay.
No, we were just talking about, before we get into the Kyler Murray situation, last week we had a very brief discussion, and I think you got bothered by the discussion because I was focusing on one particular outlet's power rankings. SI.com was so far out of whack with what everybody else was projecting or had for the Arizona Cardinals. They were 24th. In the power rankings, when everybody else had them anywhere from like 13 to 17.
Your point was accurate, but there are times in our history when sometimes, in my opinion, you obsess on a random outlier in a ranking who has disrespected an Arizona team and done so largely out of stupidity, where I like to flush that guy immediately from my consciousness. You like to rip the... you know what, off him.
Yeah.
Because you have a low tolerance for stupidity.
There's an update, though.
Yeah.
The new power rankings came out.
Right.
And the same guy pushed the Cardinals up 14 spots after beating a high school team.
I'm saying you were right in this instance. The guy mailed it in the previous time because he put them all the way up to number 10 after beating the Cowboys.
He dropped them after beating the Jets.
And maybe I should be more sensitive to it because you assemble power rankings. I never have. So I don't look at it the same way you do because you actually put serious work into it. And when you see somebody butcher, well, okay.
Right. I mean more than that guy.
Right. Okay. Right. Okay.
That's my base level.
Right.
Just do more than that guy.
Yeah.
No, I do think about it. And when I'm watching games on Sundays and flipping from channels and getting the highlights and reading everything I can, I am thinking about those things in my head.
And just one more thing before we move on. You can tell the two games that Mark Schlereth watched on the Cardinals defense were the Jets and Cowboys games.
He did not go back and watch the Carolina game.
Right.
But if he had, he
probably would have been more effusive about what he said about Buda Baker, because that was the game that Baker missed, and they looked like a completely different defense.
But this is so he is basing this really largely off Monday night's performance. But that's okay, because now you have, as a defense, you've raised the bar regardless of the level of the opponent. Now
you've set the standard.
You have set a standard now.
Yes.
And now you've got to live up to that. And now you've got to. The one thing I am going to take real solace in is when you paired the play of Dre Kirkpatrick and Byron Murphy in addition to what we saw from Buda Baker. with Patrick Peterson in that group.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Peterson might be the fourth best performer in the secondary, which you never would think. Look at the rankings.
You might be onto something.
And if that's the case, that's a pretty good secondary.
Yeah.
So this is, I like the way they're trending. I do. I really, really do.
This now, secondary needs a nickname. I'm just joking.
Great. Let's see. It's a poll. There we go, Jared. Get up on Twitter.
Kyler Murray, 9 of 24 in the win over Dallas. Wasn't asked to throw the ball much, especially in the second half when the Cowboys took their foot off the gas. But there were some throws, and there has been some throws this year where you wonder about the accuracy. What's wrong about the accuracy? Kyler Murray spoke to the media today, and he said, "I ain't worried."
But no, I'm not worried about the accuracy. That was, obviously frustrated with myself because we could have been a lot better. Could have put up more points, if I would have hit a couple guys on certain plays. But that's part of the game. That's just what it is.
I'm not that worried either. There may be some things to worry about offensively. And Cliff Kingsbury even said it after putting up 38. This offense still hasn't clicked to its potential. You hear Kyler Murray say, we should have put up more points. I have a feeling, Bic, when that week finally does come where everything does click,
mm-hmm.
It's going to be spectacular.
I hope.
It may not be sustainable, but when it gets put together, even for the course of a 60-minute football game, it's going to be spectacular.
Yeah, listen, and you would think it was coming. If this is really an issue, and I brought this up earlier, and I'm not trying to stir any pots unnecessarily, but when you look at the lack of practicing that DeAndre Hopkins has brought to the table and the corollary of Fitz probably not working the same days DeAndre is off,
mm-hmm.
then maybe they are piecing together some of this stuff on the fly, and maybe that does speak to, and maybe that's a better explanation for Kyler Murray's accuracy problems with them than the other stuff. Because I've been focusing on what? Lack of comfort zone that leads to a breakdown in mechanics or too small to see the passing lanes, particularly over the middle. If it's more a matter of unfamiliarity, I'll take that. Mm-hmm. You can work on that. You can solve that.
Yeah. Earlier in the show, we talked about, too, the clip from Monday Night Football where there was a misconnection between Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, and they brought up something they learned in their production meeting that DeAndre Hopkins said, "Kyler Murray's the first quarterback I've ever had that's yelled at me." Had a little fun with it. There was the exchange on social media yesterday. Kyler Murray was asked today about his relationship with DeAndre Hopkins on the field. Here's what he said.
I mean, he says it to me all the time. He says, you want to be good or you want to be great. And that's basically what it comes down to. We both want to be great. I've dealt with, I haven't dealt with him before, but, just receivers in general, guys that want the ball, playing with some high caliber receivers before. Everybody can get frustrated at times. It is what it is. We're all in this just trying to win, trying to be great. And when those situations arise, I know how to deal with it. I understand. He understands. There's never any hard feelings. It's all love at the end of the day. It's my guy. If yelling and fighting happens, it happens. But at the end of the day, we're on the same team, and it's just a thing that you see on the football field. Just trying to be great.
Thoughts on that, Ben? I think I'll share mine first. Yeah. When you got a guy like Kyler Murray, and we've talked about it ad nauseum, and we'll continue to, guy who's been in the spotlight that long. Pretty much any time he steps on a football field, he's been the most athletic guy. There can be frustration built in with that when others don't have the same abilities. And I'm not saying it's as prevalent at the pro level, obviously, but once upon a time, Kyler Murray probably got pretty comfortable in his leadership style as a quarterback of saying, "Hey, you got to be better," or getting into somebody that's not performing as
right.
well. And I kind of like the fact that he's not going to single out, or he's not going to treat DeAndre Hopkins any differently.
Yes, I think that's a sign of his standards. I paused on this because I've spent a lot of time almost psychoanalyzing Kyler Murray from the standpoint of what is this kid really going through? What is he having to reconcile? What is he having to get better at? How is it affecting him mentally? And I was thinking back to that early interception that he threw that was DeAndre Hopkins' fault. And Kyler Murray made it a point to tell DeAndre Hopkins, who made it a point to tell the media. And you piece all this stuff together, and I think it's interesting because you've got a quarterback who might be barking and holding guys accountable with different rules for different guys and all this kind of stuff. I think Kyler Murray, I respect the heck out of him for everything he has to do and the way he's assumed it and done it. Than I probably can express. I think his play has been a little sketch at times this year, but just in terms of the stuff he has got to manage, it's a lot. It's a lot, and I think that I think for the most part he's handled it very, very well. He doesn't show any signs of cracking. You can see the plays where he gets frustrated. You can see the moments when he gets frustrated, but he doesn't get like Tom Brady. Lose his mind.
No, he doesn't. It's so way more understated.
I think that as a leader, I think he realizes that as a quarterback, he does have to hold people accountable. And I think that it maybe hasn't been easy with a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, who's very strong-minded and very secure in who he is.
Mm-hmm. One more from Kyler Murray, going back to the inaccuracy issue. On his reasoning why he was inaccurate against the Cowboys.
I think early there was miscommunication, ball to hop, you know, a lot of things tying to being accurate, you know, your feet, eyes, body, all types of stuff. And if your feet are messed up, you know, that's going to lead to inaccurate balls, you know, being fatigued as far as, you know, running the ball and then coming back and throwing the ball. That's just something I got to work through and mentally, you know, get over in the middle of the game.
And there's that as well. So as we talked about with Lorenzo Alexander, I wonder if there isn't a way to kind of get him where he needs to be faster during the course of a game. And I don't know what that is. I really don't. But it's, I don't know. I don't know if you've heard this, but it's a work in progress.
I heard that somewhere. All right, coming up, this show's a work in progress, too.
I'll get to say that again.
All things considered. But at 1 o'clock, it takes shape because social studies is straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.